Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
Welcome to iMother Podcast.
Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
My name is Silja Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim, and I am your host. iMother Podcast is a fellowship for and by women to share wisdom, experiences, and resources around birth and motherhood, and about resurrecting the soul after times of darkness. iMother is a term that derived in Sapmi, about traditional midwives and medicine women. A woman who could look into the souls of birthing women and hold space for her. She was a guide into the unknown in both birth as well as death, a priestess of transformations of the soul. I am a mother, birth worker, and light worker, and my sole work on this planet is to help women in and after birth to be wild and true and own their bodies and their stories. By sharing our wisdom and our stories, I believe we create a world for our children where women are supported, empowered, and held. In the background, you're hearing Mari Boina, together with Madosini. Welcome to iMother. Welcome back, dear listeners. Feels like an eternity since last time I sat down to make ready the next podcast episode for you, both in body, mind, and spirit. I'm now finally sitting where I have been wanting to sit for over 2 years. 2 years ago, almost exactly today, we were removing the last bit of snow and the hole in the ground where the foundations of our house would stand and our home itself. This move has been long awaited in every way for the whole family. We have been here now for almost 2 weeks. And the change is absolute. No more flying forth and back, always in a hurry, trying to make the most out of every workday. Always with a goal far ahead. Done with one thing, no time to dwell, just moving on to the next. Living a life on the way to another has absolutely been challenging. I didn't know how big that was on my energy usage before I sat down in this house. Being someplace we don't feel like we belong or feel at home really takes a lot of energy. Also, I have been wearing earplugs for the last 2 months as the acoustics in that old house were horrible. But I also didn't know that before I sat in this house and didn't need the earplugs anymore. The walls in this house nearly pull my energy towards the earth, and the quietness is medicine for my soul. In the everlasting forests lies my placenta, and I greet her with love again. Life is extraordinary. Peace is simple yet complex. Like a spider web, everything is connected and all is ever-changing. Change is something we become better friends with when becoming mothers, I would say. Nothing lasts forever. The tantrums, the hugs, the hang-ups, the jokes. It's all an ever-expanding wave. This episode, my dear friends, is called Blueberry Children. I didn't make that phrase up, but Sandra called her tiny little baby a blueberry. Before she buried the little soul in the ground, the blueberry being the size of her dead child. But losing a child is not tiny, it is huge, unfathomably huge.
In this episode, we try to reach into these dark places of loss with a touch of love and warmth. Vila and Sandra openly and bravely share their stories of loss. We dive into their grief, their healing, and the wisdom that keeps unfolding with keeping the light of their dead children close to their hearts. This episode was recorded in December in Nesodden around a round table in a cafe. Me, Vila, Sandra, and Lina, whom you met in episode 11, is sitting in circle. Oddly enough, this very intimate and personal topic seemed to find its way into a public space in the midst of a pandemic. And I hope and believe that there was and is a purpose to that. Many women have contacted me and asked for platforms to share about birth loss and episodes about this. You might have listened to episode 9 with Emily Ruth on my podcast, which is also about this topic. This topic, like so many other topics related to women's health, reproductive issues, birth and mothering, is understated, down-talked. So we did find ourselves bringing the topic into awareness in public. So I firstly want to state a deep thank you to Vila and Sandra for sharing their stories in this way, in this space. May your choice of sharing this bring you light, healing, power, and strength always. Losing children in utero, in birth, in life is real. It is a huge life-altering experience that shapes and shifts, changes and molds life forever after. And it is also a real conception, a real pregnancy, a real birth, a real postpartum experience, and a real mothering. It is there and it needs our love, attention, and our tending as much, or more justly speaking, more tending than those mamas that have their babies in arms. We need to speak about this topic, ladies. We need these stories to be heard so that when we meet a mom that has lost a child, we know how to support her and we can teach our communities how not to respond. We must go forward as an example and dare to care. Dare to face, meet, and see the deep pain and grief this is on so many levels. When I sat down to edit this episode, which I usually don't do much actually, as I try to be concise about the time I spend with this work, while editing, I managed to delete the first part of the intro that I did while we were sitting together in the cafe. Nothing important said, but when you do listen to the interview, it will jump straight into Vila's introduction of herself without me asking her to do just that. So now you know. So I invite you to sit down with a warm cup to drink for this one and have some space to dwell in the wisdom of these two mothers who has looked death in the eye.
Yeah, so I'm an herbalist who live here at Nesodden together with my daughter, who's 8 years old. I run a very small-scale herbal apothecary. And like I said, I'm the mother of a soon-to-be 8-year-old daughter, and I also am a mother to several babies who I lost in pregnancy. Yeah.
How was that, Vila?
My miscarriages? Mm. Yeah. It happened many years ago now. The first miscarriage I went through was in 2010. I was newly in love and very happy to be pregnant, even though it wasn't planned. Everything was going fine, as I thought. I went through the first trimester and I was a bit more tired than usual, but everything looked good. My belly started growing and I was very proud to show my belly off. But then at the routine ultrasound, around week 19, I think, they discovered that the baby wasn't doing so well. There was a lot of fluid in the baby's body, and they didn't really know why. We were sent home from the hospital with a lot of questions, not knowing what this was going to mean, if we were going to have a baby or not. And after that followed around a week and a half of lots of tests and scans and doctor's appointments, and they followed the development, but the baby was doing very poorly and it was obvious for the doctors that the baby was in fact dying slowly in my womb. It was a very emotional time, of course. Yeah, just a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah. But at the end, the doctors just kind of advised me very strongly to end the pregnancy and to go through a late abortion. I didn't really feel like I had a choice at that time. It was presented to me as the, yeah, this is what you should do now. And so I did. I was admitted to hospital and were given medication to start delivering this tiny little baby. At that time it was around 20, 21 weeks old. And a day or two before that I had taken some pills that ended the blood support to the placenta, I think. So the baby was already dead. And that day, that whole experience was very, very painful. It was, of course, very sad. I was devastated. And also physically, it was very painful. Yeah, I was not really expecting it to be so much physical pain, because I thought that they would offer me medication to ease the pain and that they had like good routines around that. And I was planning to give birth naturally, but that was in my mind then I was going to give birth to a live baby, you know. So when going through this experience, I didn't really want there to be a lot of pain, but there was. I remember afterwards, after giving birth to this little baby, I didn't see it right away. The nurses just took it away and cleaned him. It was a little boy. And afterwards I was like trying to go through the corridors of the hospital to this other room where I would be allowed to see my baby. And I couldn't really walk up straight because as I was in so much pain, they had given me a lot of medication. They were trying to control my pain levels, but they weren't really doing a good job of it. So I was heavily medicated as well. It was a very surrealistic experience, the whole thing. And yeah, it was very hard. I was very sad afterwards as well. But not, yeah. So that was that day. And some months later, I actually discovered that I again was pregnant. And again, it wasn't planned. But I was very happy about it. And I thought that this time everything would go well. And I was very optimistic and hopeful that it would all work out.
Did you then, between those two, did you get any support? Like, did you have any emotional support after the first one?
No, not really. And also I was in a very unsupported place in life. I had just moved to Oslo. And of course Norway isn't really my native country at all. I'm from Sweden. So I was quite alone and friendless. And my only support system was my boyfriend, or at the time of my second pregnancy, he was actually my husband. We had married in the time between my pregnancies. Yeah, so it was my husband and his mother who were my whole support system. And from the like the doctors, there are really no emotional support to gain. There are many amazing health practitioners that really want to support, I think, but I can imagine that you get quite, I don't know, you have to close off parts of yourself, perhaps, when working with working within this medicine system that's not really designed to allow emotions and allow like the spiritual side of who we are to take place. So no, I didn't really feel like I had a lot of support. Yeah. During this second pregnancy, they did offer me more appointments and like more scans. And they, of course, did this to make me feel more supported. Yeah. But yeah, it was still a very. It was still an experience of being quite alone in the world. Yeah. And this second pregnancy, it felt good. But again, at the routine scan around week 19, or I think perhaps it was week 18 this time, they discovered that the baby was already dead this time. It had been dead for around 3 weeks and I hadn't noticed anything. I did already know that the placenta was in the front of the belly, so I thought that was why I hadn't felt any movements. But the baby was dead. So again, I was admitted to hospital to deliver this little body, this little baby. This time they they actually had looked at my previous charts and noticed that I was so in so much pain the first time. So they gave me some heavy painkillers right away. And also I met some of the same nurses there at the hospital as the first time. So yeah, it felt like I was better supported this second time. Yeah.
Vila, thank you so much for sharing your story, and it sounds so horrible.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time, and I think when you have decided to have that you are going to have a baby and you welcome that into your life, it's so hard when it isn't happening.
Mm.
Yeah, when you go through several losses, or it doesn't have to be several. It can just be that you want to get pregnant but doesn't. Then you have this intention of becoming a mother, and when that isn't happening, it's so hard. Mm. Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, how did that, like, affect your connection with yourself and, like, your womb and your creativity? How has those lives shaped you?
Yeah. At that time, I think, in many ways, I was very out of touch with the core of who I was and who I am. And I think these losses actually have helped me getting to know myself so much better.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm now, looking back, I'm very grateful for going through these experiences, because they have, of course, shaped who I am and what I want today and my direction in life. Especially they made me very interested in death.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that's just so fascinating to me. Death is like this big taboo subject in modern life. It's something that we want to hide away and not talk about too much. And we try to pretend it isn't there. But of course, the only thing that we really can be sure of is that we are going to die, and everyone is going to die at some point. At least our physical bodies are going to die.
Mm.
Yeah.
So before we started recording, we were sitting and we were trying to see if we were going to do the recording or not in this cafe. We were speaking a bit about how you are all connected, and your work with herbs. And it just, you know, caught my attention in the sense, because I was also sharing my story with you guys. I think I've told it on the podcast before, and when I experienced a miscarriage when I was living in New York. And when we were sitting then around the table and I was telling my story, I was feeling how this story is still affecting me. Like, I feel like, oof, I feel this heaviness and like sadness in my bones when I'm speaking about it, even though it's like so many years ago. And when you were speaking about herbs and how you helped Sandra with herbs, I was a bit curious on how do you work with herbs in regards to this topic, and how did you help yourself, and yeah, can you speak a bit about that?
Yeah, so when I had my pregnancy losses, I wasn't really working with herbs all that much. It's an interest that's been in my life since I was very young. I learned to read very early, and I early read like all kinds of books, and often I raided my grandmother's bookshelves, and she had quite a lot of books on herbalism. So as a young child, I collected herbs and had a little medicine pouch that I carried with me at all times, and I felt a very deep connection with some herbs. I felt like I really connected to them on a deeper level. But then I don't come from a family that really has any spiritual, what should I say, they don't really honor the spiritual side of what it is to be human. So I got a bit out of touch with that as I grew older, and it was after I gave birth to my daughter, who is with me today, the only one that I actually gave birth to live. It's only after that I really started to working with herbs again. Yeah, but since then my interest for herbs has only deepened year by year, and I'm so glad now to be able to help spreading the knowledge as well of how much support we can get from herbs that really just grow right outside our doors. They are everywhere. Nature is so abundant, and the herbs that we need most often grow right outside our doorsteps. It's amazing to see how nurturing the earth is to us. Yeah. So when when I first got in contact with Sandra, I think I can talk a little bit about it. She was going through a miscarriage, and she needed to make sure like that the whole pregnancy was expelled, I think you could say. She had a missed abortion, and I just started bleeding. So I provided her with some herbs that would help the womb to just release everything. So that was, it was very nice to be able to help her and support her in that way.
Can you speak specifically about, like, just which herbs, unless there are like 30 of them? Like?
Yeah, it wasn't 30 of them, but they were quite, it was a few herbs. Mainly for helping the womb to empty, and for the placenta and all the pregnancy to just let go. I gave her some mugwort. Mugwort is a very powerful herb, and it should be used with care, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. So it's not something I would, I'm not a medical practitioner, so it's not something that I would recommend anyone taking, and you should definitely do your own research first. But I felt comfortable mentioning it to her and explaining how it could be used with care, and always when you use medicine, or either it's conventional medicine or herbal medicine, you should really try to notice what's happening in your body, of course, and how it affects you. Mm. Yeah, but mugwort is very good with helping the pregnancy to just let go.
Mm.
Yeah, helping the womb to let go of the pregnancy. So that was one herb I gave her, and also yarrow to stop stuff, excessive bleeding, and of course Raspberry Leaf, who is extremely supporting and nurturing for our wombs. It just helps the womb to function at its best levels. Yeah.
I was just thinking about mugwort earlier. We were just speaking about it together. And also because as a part of the innate studies that me and Lina did together, you know, we were doing this moksha with mugwort. And in Chinese medicine, that's one of the, like, that's like a very important part of treating a birth loss. So putting this heat with mugwort on your kidneys, and also for, you know, giving the medicine and the warmth into the womb. I do this like weekly still as a, you know, heat inducing care, self-care practice. But for sure mugwort is really like, it's just a witch medicine. That just ignites whatever needs to be ignited. And yeah, it's some really potent stuff.
Yeah. And mugwort was actually one of the herbs I felt very attracted to early in my childhood as well. So it, both mugwort and yarrow, it was my first two great loves, yeah. You could say. Yeah.
Two big and great teachers.
Yeah.
So we were just speaking about herbs, and you mentioned Sandra, and I was just thinking that maybe Sandra wants to share a bit about these herbs and how they were received in your body.
I had the fortune of crossing paths with Vila right after my miscarriage. Line, who's a wonderful support to a lot of people in Nesodden and all over Oslo and probably the world. She said to me that she knew someone who could help me, and so she put me in touch with Vila, and she really wanted for me to feel supported. She didn't want me to feel alone through this journey, and I could really feel her warmth and her support throughout. So the first conversation we had, she shared her experiences with me, and said that herbs had not been a part of her journey then, but they very much are now. And so she really, you know, she wanted to share, and for me also to find my path and see what felt comfortable. So she prepared this magic package, you know, beautiful herbs that she picked up herself in the woods, and she packaged some of them in these beautiful paper bags, and then she got on a ferry from Nesodden to Oslo barefoot and just walked. She wanted to come right to my doorstep, and I asked my husband to get on a bike and meet her halfway at Nationaltheater, and when he came into the room, I just immediately noticed that there was this beautiful smell all around him. And I thought, did he just make out with some woman? I was so mesmerized by the smell. And he said, I met Vila, she's beautiful. She has this beautiful red hair, and she came barefoot and she gave me these herbs, and she didn't want any money for them. And I think that was the beginning of me realizing that this was an incredible journey on so many ways. You know, that there were so many gifts that came with this loss. And so that was the beginning of taking the herbs. I think another moment for me was when I reached out to Line even before hearing about Vila. And we talked about loss And she opened my eyes to the idea that this life was still there. You know, that the body didn't make it, but the life was still there. And that was very powerful, and it completely turned around my idea of what this whole birth had been for me. And so I started taking the herbs, and I was a little bit nervous because, you know, you read about burrut or mugwort or Artemisa. It's like the most beautiful name in Spanish, this goddess. And you're also, you have fire in your hands, you know, so there's a certain nervousness. But I was taking this, and this was after I had the miscarriage. So I was just trying to help my body heal and cleanse. And so after, this was on a Saturday, and on a Monday I went to get an ultrasound, and the doctor said, "You're good to go. Everything's out. There's a little tiny bit of tissue, and that's going to come out on its own." And I just felt so good. I mean, obviously I was mourning and I was going through a loss, but it was just incredible to see what the body could do on its own, you know. And I felt so protected by my body, by the wisdom, by my inner wisdom, that I felt very strongly about sharing this experience, because I would like for every woman to be given the option to choose whether they want to go through a loss on their own, whether they want to let their body do what they know how to do, or whether they want an intervention, whether it's in the shape of a pill or a mini surgery. I think it's, I'm kind of starting from the middle and then going back to the beginning, but the whole miscarriage and the aftermath has been one of the most difficult experiences of my life. And there have been a lot of dark moments. However, I think I like to talk about empowerment when it comes to pregnancy loss, because there's so much that comes to teach us what we need to learn, and it comes to show us the things that we don't want to look at and the parts of ourselves that are needing to come out or needing to be transformed in one way or the other. So, and I think a part of that was going through the actual miscarriage and just feeling the amazing thing that a woman's body is, you know. Like, I think it was the first time in my life where I thought to myself, fuck yeah, I am a woman. Mm. You know, I was blessed being a woman. Mm. And it's incredible. We have incredible power. And I think up until that point, or before, I had felt, oh, women, we're so sensitive, we have periods, you know, we have cramps, we go through this process of giving birth, and it was kind of like men always get it easy, you know. And then after that, it was like a turning point for me to just realize how amazing it had been, and to also know that, yes, I had lost the body, but I had become a mother, and this is something that Lena helped me with. You know, I am a mother, and I gave birth, and I know what it's like to experience giving birth, and suddenly feeling that everything else is secondary, that you are in the moment where you are, and you just know what to do. I think that's one of the things that my partner noticed. He said, "You are sometimes insecure and you ask questions, you second guess yourself, but at that moment, you just knew. For those 7 hours, you knew what to do, and you told me what you needed, and you were clear, and you did not hesitate, you were not afraid for a second." And that just makes me feel that there was such a force in that room, you know, like there were, all my angels were there, and this life was there, and they were all guiding me, you know, towards what I needed to do. So as hard as life is now, no one can take that gift away. You know, it was such a powerful experience. And I'll never change that, you know. And I think it's led me to where I am now, which is still a time of uncertainty and times of darkness. I think I always love to quote Leonard Cohen, because he says, in this song, he says, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And so when I think of heartbreak, you know, this is definitely one of the greatest heartbreaks. However, it's been a time of just so much learning for me, for my partner, for our life together and with our dog, you know, like even just the way sometimes I become so obsessed with getting pregnant and I just become so self-absorbed. And then I look at him and I see him and I think he's there. You know, I picked him up from the streets of Mexico. He had parasites for weeks. We didn't know if he was going to live. And now he's in Norway and he's healthy and he's like my greatest joy every day, you know. And I forget because I'm so consumed by wanting to make something happen. And so it's also been a process, you know, of like being so obsessed with something and taking 100 supplements a day and spending thousands of kroners on supplements and doctors and looking outside of yourself, asking someone, paying someone to tell you that you're going to have a baby, you know, when I think I know it in my heart that the only real way to welcome life into you is to let life flow, you know. And there's been such a strangulation, I don't even know if that's the word, of life in this process of wanting to make life happen, you know. So I don't even know where I'm going right now with all this, but I think there's just been so many lessons that I want to share the fact that this is, it is really hard, but there's so much in it for us if we dare to look, you know, and if we dare to really experience it from within and really be in our bodies and connect with the people that are with us and that are around us and the life that is all around us.
Sandra, wow, your story is, thank you so much for being so open with your story. It's just so moving to hear your journey. It's just such a journey, my God. And yeah, you just put it so beautifully how, you know, that's the maturation of becoming a mother. You know, shedding light into the wound, you know, of darkness. And that's the part of becoming. That's the birth of life. And that's the death of the old, you know. And it's just, I just want to really honor you for that journey and going through that and being in it and living it and speaking it. It's just really beautiful and just really true and raw and honest to be with. Thank you. Yeah, my goodness. So before we were speaking a bit about, like, you know, the support or the lack of support, or when there's no mirrors around you, how it's difficult to really acknowledge for yourself what's going on, and like if it's just like a, like if losing a child is just a minor detail, that isn't really considered that you're actually losing life, how difficult it can be to just like heal and really get to know these feelings if there's no mirrors around. Do you want to speak a bit about your experience with, you know, how you were met and yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit shaky. The first thing the doctor said when this happened was that this was very common and that we should go try as soon as I felt ready. And I think that is something that people will say to you, wanting to help, you know, wanting to make you feel better. And I think, as Vila said earlier, it does help to know that you're not alone, that this is something that happens to one out of three or four women. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to get pregnant again, you know. So it is comforting to a certain extent, but I think it forgets to honor the fact that doesn't make this lost life less important. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't detract from the process of mourning the life that was lost. Mm-hmm. I think something that was wonderful for me, which again Lina was very much a part of, was that I was able to hold my baby. Mm-hmm. And to have him, I always felt it was a he, even though we didn't know, to hold him near for as long as I felt that I needed to hold him and to then water my plants with some of the blood that was lost, so that I knew that he was always there. And for us to be able to go to this place that we love and place him there and plant a beautiful blueberry tree, because we called him Blueberry because of the size. At some point he was the size of a blueberry, and to be able to do a ceremony, you know, and write the words that we wanted to say and have a shared experience. I think that was a very healing moment for me, and it was an incredible moment for the couple, you know, for us as a couple, because it brought us together. It was like a very bonding moment. And I think maybe if we try to speed through the process and say this is common, just, you know, get on, try as soon as you can, you know, as soon as you feel that you're ovulating, it detracts a little bit from that opportunity that we have to really live through the sense of loss, and to also let your body process everything, you know, along with your mind. I think there is a human aspect lacking in this interaction with women who have lost children. Maybe Vila will want to speak more about it. I think the approach is extremely cold, and I understand that doctors are not psychologists, but they could refer you to someone. There could be a unit of support for pregnancy loss, you know, people who could share stories. I think for me, the greatest support has been having women in my life who I didn't know, you know, I didn't know a year ago, who have gone through the same or similar experiences, and who, because they've lived through it, they want you to feel held and they want you to feel supported, so they kind of know what you need. And like I was saying, it's sometimes even more powerful when you're supported by people that you might not even know if they've gone through something similar than maybe your mom or your sister or your best friend, you know, who may not know how to support you. So I think it's incredibly valuable to have this in society, to just have a group of women that understand and that can create that space for you when you need it. And I'm just so thankful that I had that at that time.
It's like it becomes so evident, like when we experience these things, whether or not we have this support in our, you know, if we have sisters around us that are able to comprehend, like how to give that support, because, you know, you don't, it's not easy to find it in like systems. And also it's so also clear, you know, when you do experience it, or you go to the doctor, or, you know, even when you are, you know, even postpartum, the lack of support really just shows how we view a woman, you know, her work on this earth as something that is of minor detail. You know, it's just not, she's really carrying life. Yeah, I mean, what important, like there's no task that is bigger. And then there's this like total lack of acknowledgement within the system of her needing something, you know, as women, we need something, we need support, you know. And that's also what we need. I mean, like, that's how we thrive as women. We need this sisterhood. And that's what I find so beautiful with, you know, sitting with you today and listening to your stories and how you, you know, provided this support between you in different ways, you know. And that's an alive community of sharing wisdom and sharing, you know, our stories. That's why we should share our stories and, yeah, go into that and be honest with it. And yeah.
Can I say something?
Of course.
One of the very powerful moments in this whole experience is that one night I just felt the need to share, to just open up about my experience, in order to do what Vila did for me, which was to support others and to let other women know that they weren't alone. And so I put together a post that I wrote about what I had gone through with a photograph of when I was pregnant. I think it was 3-4 weeks pregnant, I can't remember. And it was coincidentally the same day that this celebrity, I don't remember her name, but she came out on Instagram with her pregnancy loss story, and it was just like, I mean, she has a huge following, and then there was a lot of media coverage after, so it happened to be right around the same time, so that was, the timing was incredible. But anyway, I share this, and I meditated for a little bit because I was shaky, you know, I was feeling very vulnerable after that, and suddenly When I ended the meditation, my phone was just going off constantly. I don't think I've ever received so much support and love from people around me. And, you know, I've lost my dad, I've lost my mom, I've lost a lot of people in my life, and I've never received so much care. And that really, for me, that says that people have gone through this. Most people we know have gone through it, either themselves or through a sister or a parent or a friend, and they really connected, you know. And I think that was very powerful, because our experiences would be a lot easier if we could say, hey, this happened to me. But I think a lot of us go through it on our own. And no matter how many times you hear that you're a statistic, you still feel very alone in the process. And so I think one of the goals that I have with sharing my story is that it becomes more and more common every day, or not more common, but easier for people to open up so that they can get the support that they need. And so that we also start looking at miscarriage more, and we stop looking at it as something that just happens, because maybe there is a genetic thing that happens where the embryo just doesn't make it, you know, maybe in 50% of the cases. But what about all the others? I really believe that for most of the miscarriages, there is a cause. Mm-hmm. And we're not finding it because, as you mm-hmm. said, we're not dedicating the resources mm-hmm. to women's health, mm-hmm. you know, that we could. And to hear, for me to hear that you won't be really checked for anything until your third miscarriage mm-hmm. is crazy, because mm-hmm. that is just telling a woman that you have to lose three children yes, before we pay attention to you. And that's completely wrong, even in a system that's public and that has limited resources. We're mm-hmm. talking about human life and we're talking about human loss. And I think that we need to spend a lot more time and resources mm-hmm. to finding out what's going on. If a woman has a loss, then we need to test and we need to find out, because there's so many reasons why mm-hmm. this could have happened other than just like, you know, it just genetically didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So the more we talk about it and the more we ask our doctors to give us an explanation, mm-hmm. to find, you know, the reasons, the more we push that line, the faster this process is going to go, I think, mm-hmm. and the easier it's going to be for women in the future. I mean, that's mm-hmm. I hope that will be mm-hmm. the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. And really important to voice it out, speak it up, and demand. So I was thinking, as like a last little round, Vila, maybe you want to just share a bit about how this is forming and shaping your life.
Excuse me, I feel like it's...
Yeah, we had just had this guy come over and asking us why we're passing this phone around and speaking into the mic, which is a really good question. Like, we're sitting speaking to each other, why do we have this phone passing? Yeah, so we were just saying, Vila, if you can just share a bit about how this work that you're doing and these experiences have shaped you and formed you into who you are at this very moment.
Yes. First, I think I just wanted to mention something around like the causes of why we miscarriage, and my own perspective on that, or what I believe happened in my case. Because I think that a lot of women carry a lot of shame around their losses or miscarriages, and really blame themselves for it. We think about all the supplements that perhaps could have helped if we had taken them, or different things that we did if we carried too heavy, or whatever we did. And personally, I really don't think that there should be any shame around losing a baby. In my case, I believe it was... I had these two losses that I've already shared about. And then a year later, I had an early miscarriage as well. Before a year after that again, I gave birth to my daughter. So I believe that it was because of a medication I was taking that I had these losses. None of the earlier pregnancies I had was planned, and I weren't trying to get pregnant, and I was taking a medication that I believe was the cause for the babies not making it. At the time, there wasn't really any reports that it could cause birth defects, but that has come later, a suspicion of that this medication can cause heart problems. Yeah. So that is what I believe. And yeah, I just wanted to, like I said, acknowledge that it is very common for us to be ashamed, but I didn't know, and I did what I could. I did the best I could with the information I had at the time. Yeah. And also, like both of you were talking about earlier, about women and how powerful and strong we really are, and women really need to be honored for all we are able to do. And I find it so amazing that a woman's body can be a portal for both life and death. We can carry both life and death inside of us, and it's it's really a gift. It's so amazing to experience that. Yeah, so you were asking earlier about how it shaped my life. This, yeah,
and your work, your life and your work. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, so obviously it's been a powerful experience for me, and I think going through losses of different kinds of losses, it just really helps us grow our empathic side and help us see the sorrow and grief that other people are going through. And for me, it has definitely made me more more interested in working in a field that allows me to be present for other people and to be able to support people in different ways. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's very much I need to say about it. Losing a baby is such a big event, so of course it has a great impact on your life. From that day forward, it's always going to be with you. Yeah. I wonder, perhaps I could read a text that I wrote about a year ago about these losses.
Please do.
Yeah, I wrote it in Swedish, and earlier today I translated it to English. It's for, yeah. So it goes like this. Grief can be strange. The last few days I've been grieving and crying for the two small ones who never got to fill their lungs with air. The ones I lost at 20 weeks of pregnancy in 2010 and at 15 weeks in 2011. I can go long stretches of time feeling that I don't carry an ounce of pain over it with me. The wounds have closed. I have my daughter, so good and smart, strong and beautiful. And then a distant memory, a scent, a color, suddenly tears it all up, and I'm overpowered by waves of feeling so raw that it could have been yesterday, that I dripping in cold sweat with searing pain and rivers of tears and blood deliver them. I give birth to their small lifeless bodies. I'll never forget how it felt, beautiful, powerful and painful.
Thank you so much, Vila. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Sandra, what about you? How has this shaped your life? and your work and your heart?
I think it's had me really look inside myself, because for a while all I could think of was, I need to make this happen, I need to have a baby. And then suddenly I realized, is this a selfish thing? You know, do I want to bring life into this world because I need to hold a baby, because I want to be a mother, because I want to fulfill this role in society, because I want to heal maybe the loss of my mom through my own child, you know? Why is this such an obsession? And why is that keeping me from being happy with the life that I have, you know, with my beautiful dog, with my beautiful husband, with everything that's around me? You know, sometimes we are so monofocal that we just are unable to look at everything else. And I think there were dark moments when I started comparing myself to others. You know, why are all my friends either pregnant or mothers? Or, you know, why do there seem to be babies everywhere? And I just can't manage to have one. Why me? Why me? Why me? And then it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper into a dark hole. And realizing that really there is no point comparing, because you will never know what someone's going through. You know, you'll never know the battles that people have to fight. And it's not a race. It's really about understanding what can this show you in your life today? You know, what can be the value of this experience? Because I do believe that everything happens for a reason, or that you can get lemon juice out of every lemon that falls on your path. And so that's basically what I'm trying to do here. And I've had really dark days, and this has really been one of the toughest years. And I think that's when you're like on the ground, is when you have the chance to get up. And that's what I'm trying to do, to also realize that this pregnancy is about a life that chooses to come into our life, right? And this is something Lina has also helped me see. So I'm not going to force it, you know? That life is going to choose to come into our life. And so what I need to do is to build that nest that's going to be comfortable and warm enough for him or her to want to nest there. And so this obsession and kind of neuroticism around pregnancy that we all fall into, and is perfectly human, I think that takes us away from life itself. And that's what I'm trying to do, to just live my life and make space for other lives, you know, whatever they may be, in the shape of my own child or an adoptive child or many other dogs or cows or, you know, plants. Like, I have so many plants since we started this process, and I rescue them from the trash, and people give them to me, and I care for them, and I love them so much, right? And this is, it's life in different shapes. So I think I'm just trying to really enjoy life and soak it up, and not strangle life by just being obsessing over something that is not happening the way we would like it to happen. So that's, yeah, trying to relax, yeah, more than anything. And to give myself what I need, you know, because I think there's this outward focus of, I want a baby and I want to give this baby so much love, and then we forget about our baby, like our inner child. And I have so much sorrow from the last 10 years, so much pain that I haven't really processed. And I think every parent knows that children will bring so much out of you. You know, they'll bring all the joy in the world, and they will also trigger you in so many ways. And I think that right now I need to focus on healing my inner child and then opening those doors for whatever may come, whenever it may come.
Thank you, ladies, so much for coming into the space with all of the weirdness that happened this morning and sitting here together speaking about this topic. And I just also, just in the sense that we're, you know, how these things shape us of life and death. And I just really strongly believe also that as a woman, you are a mother. I mean, you are just you are Mother Earth, because you just are, you know. You have a womb and you have a body and you have Mother Earth. She lives in you. So it's just like this, you know, claiming that title, regardless of being a mother to human children, live or not alive, but just claiming being, you're just an aspect of mother. We're just aspects of mother.
So again, I just want to praise all the women speaking out and sharing their womb stories. There is nothing more important a woman can do than speak her truth. For hundreds of years, we have been kept down and avoided speaking or not been able to speak. This is the opportunity of our times, of our generations. We have the support, the knowledge, and we can speak. Not all women, but many. Let us use our voices for the common good of all women, past, present, and future. I will continue to host my womb story circles, but I need to get a few practical things in order before I set a date. So keep a lookout on the Facebook page for updates. The next one will probably be around the beginning of May. If you want to share your story and feel the need for more support after birth, or after loss, 2 months after, 2 or 20 years, don't hesitate to reach out to me. We can find a way to work through things in an empowering way together. Now, in the next episode, my dear soul sister, Line Efreidsen, is coming back to the podcast, the first time, second time guest. We will continue speaking about baby loss and the aftermath of it all through the lens of innate community care that we both work and share in common. We will talk about the journey to healing and the work that we do to accept, move into, and move forward. This episode will be out on the 14th of May. Sandra also wanted to share with you listeners a group that Sandra runs named Finding Empowerment in Pregnancy Loss, a private and safe space for women who have experienced pregnancy loss, whether miscarriage, stillbirth, neonatal death, abortions, or termination for medical reasons, and are looking for information and connections to support their healing and empowerment processes. I will also share this link in the show notes. Also, she wanted to share with you a real cool concept that caught my attention that is called a trauma-sensitive boxing course. You can find it on her website at www.boxfem.org. I will also share this in the show notes. You can find more info about me and the work that I do for women at www.imother.com. You can also support the podcast with a small monthly amount at Patreon, iMother at Patreon. I am grateful to all you listeners, wise women, who join this community And to anyone who shares this, their stories, these stories with your sisters and in your communities, I will see you back on the 14th of May, sisters. Enjoy the freshness of spring. Much love.